especially this morning, that the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, is our great encourager. And we pray all this in your great name. Amen. Well, this world is a discouraging place. I don't have to say that. You know that. We live in a world of constant bad news. Bad news all the time. And to top it off, we live with ourselves. Our hearts are prone to wander. We are prone, yes, daily prone to leave the God that we love. And we herniate discs. It's a discouraging world we live in. So what we need as human beings and as God's people, what we need is encouragement. All of the time. In many doses. And that is what I want to give you today. I hope that you are encouraged today with this message. So, for starters, in all of the bad news that is all around us, and many times in us, there is good news. There is good news that ultimately triumphs over all of the bad news. And we could sum up the good news in one word. Jesus. Jesus is the great good news that we need to encourage our souls. Jesus, however, we don't think about this often, but Jesus, he was discouraged. Yes, the Son of God was discouraged, and he was, in order to bring us encouragement. So let me set it up for you this way. Let me put it like this. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are on death row. Okay, you're going to be executed, but you're going to be executed for a crime that you never committed. You are sentenced to die, but you never committed this crime. And the day before you are going to be executed, you have one last chance to speak to your family members and your close friends. So they come to see you and you talk with them. What would you tell them? What would you want to convey to them? What would you want to share with them in those final moments that you had? Well, I imagine it would be similar for all of us. We would want to comfort them. Right? We would want to comfort our loved ones, and we want to tell them that we're leaving now, but we're going to see them on the other side. We're going to see them with Jesus. And we would want to tell them that we would want to give them instructions on how to carry on in life without us. And of course, certainly, we would sort of send them away with our love. That's what we would say in general, basic terms. That's what we would tell them. Well, as difficult, as dreadful as this hypothetical scenario may sound, this was, if you're following with me, this was actually the situation Jesus found himself in. Jesus was going to die. He was going to be executed for crimes he never committed. And to hear his last words, there are his friends gathered around him, his disciples. And we read about these last words in the book of John. John chapters 14, 15, and 16. We call it the farewell discourse because Jesus is saying farewell to his friends. So I want you to turn there with me. We already read John 14. Open back up to John 14. It's page 1078 if you lost your place. John chapter 14, page 1078. As you're finally turning there, I want to remind you that these chapters, 14, 15, and 16, among other things, what does Jesus do here? He tells them just what you would do if you were going to be executed. He tells his disciples that he will see them again. I am going to see you on the other side with my Father. And he offers them encouragement, some instruction for the remainder of their journey on earth. And the way, here's the key that I want you to notice in these passages, in these three chapters, the way he offers encouragement to his disciples is he tells them that he is going to send them someone. They're not going to be left alone. He's going to send them a helper when he is gone. And you know who this helper is. So let's read about what Jesus says who this person is in verse 16. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus speaking here, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, who is he? He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, when this passage was translated for us into English, this underlying Greek word that we see as helper, it can be rendered helper, but oftentimes it can be rendered counselor or comforter or advocate or the term that I like to use is encourager. That's how we could translate this underlying word here from the original. So since the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is referred to as helper or encourager, what I want to know is, and what you should be thinking is, how does he help us? How does he encourage us? That's his name. How does he do it? What does he do? How does he offer encouragement? Well, there are two ways that I want to look at this morning of how the Spirit helps you and me. And my prayer is that this would be an encouragement to you to see how the divine encourager encourages you. I want to say, just before we get into these two reasons, I want you to do your best this morning to track with me. Yes, I'm going to give you the conclusion at the end, so you could technically sort of tune out and then pop right back up at the end. But I want you to track with me because I think it will have more of an impact when you follow the argument here that we're making from these verses. Okay? All right, very well then. Let's dive in this morning. The first way that the Spirit encourages you and me, the first way he does this, his first thing that he does to encourage us is he testifies about Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. Now, you have some questions in your mind. How does this encourage me? I'm going to get to that. Hold that thought. Okay? And I want you to see this from John chapter 15. So look over one chapter to John 15, verse 26. Okay? Again, all part of the farewell discourse that Jesus is giving his disciples about the Spirit and his work that he's going to do for them. Look at John 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, what is he going to do? He is, number one, he's going to testify about me. The Spirit testifies about Jesus. That's his work. That's what he does. That's his role. Now, how does, track with me here, how does the Spirit testify about Jesus? That's what he's going to do. He's going to testify about Jesus. Testifying about Jesus encourages us. How does he testify about Jesus? Well, we could give three reasons how the Spirit testifies about Jesus. Initially, we could say, the first way he testifies about Jesus is through what we would call, or what we can call, regeneration. Now, regeneration is a big fancy term, and all it means, what it means, is it's the act of God whereby he, through the Spirit, gives us new life. That's what regeneration means. It's given us new life because we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We need new life. We need resurrection life. So when the Holy Spirit bestows new life, when he gives new life, in that moment, follow me now, in the moment that he's giving us new life, in that moment, what is he doing? He is testifying about Jesus. He came to you and me, and he opened our eyes so that we would see Jesus, that we would embrace Jesus, that we would see him as glorious and beautiful, and we would want him. We would want to follow him. We would love him. So the upshot of this is that someone only savingly sees Jesus with spiritual eyesight. They only do that. They can only do that because of the work of the Holy Spirit alone. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:3, listen to this verse. Therefore, I want you to understand, Paul says, I want you to understand something. No one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. In other words, what Paul is saying is no one can say as his inward heart conviction. No one can say, as his inward heart conviction, that Jesus is Lord and not have the Spirit. And vice versa, no one can say that Jesus is not Lord who has the Spirit, you see. Let me illustrate this for you. Bring this down to earth a little bit. I remember once hearing about a English-speaking seminary professor, and this seminary professor teaching the Bible, he had I think it was most of, if not all of, the New Testament memorized. 27 books, many, many pages. He had it memorized in Greek. In Greek. He was native English speaker. Greek was a second language for him. Now, I don't know about you, but I have hard enough memorizing the Bible in English, let alone Greek. But this is what he did. Yet this man was not a Christian. He was in a seminary. He was teaching the Bible. He was not a Christian. He actually said Jesus is not Lord. That's what he confessed as his heart conviction. The point is, he didn't have the Spirit. The point is that without the Holy Spirit, a person can have all of the knowledge in the world, but it does no good for them in terms of their salvation. That is why you can have some of the brightest people on the planet that are not believers. It's not a matter of them not knowing the facts of the gospel. Right? They may very well know the facts of the gospel. It's about them being veiled in their heart and mind to who Jesus is. The Spirit hasn't opened their eyes. They're still asleep spiritually. Dead spiritually, actually. So the Holy Spirit, He testifies about Jesus through regeneration. That's how He does it. To you and I, when we see, when our eyes are opened, He's testifying about Jesus. Second, how does the Holy Spirit testify about Jesus? This is how He does it. He does it when the Spirit bears witness to Jesus through the through regeneration. When He does that, what happens is He empowers you and me to bear witness to Jesus Himself. Look what Jesus says in verse 27 of John 15. So the Spirit is going to come. He's going to testify about me, verse 26. Verse 27, and you, disciples, and us today, will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. So not only will the Holy Spirit testify about Jesus, but you and I will testify about Jesus. And through your testimony, here's what I want you to get, follow the argument, through your testimony of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will empower you, which means that He, the Spirit, will ultimately be the one who is testifying about Jesus. Again, going back to regeneration. So, the Holy Spirit will secondly testify about Jesus through the work of evangelism. We could say evangelism if you want to put one word to it to sort of get this second reason. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, He testifies of Jesus through regeneration and then through evangelism. Okay? And now third, the third reason. As the Holy Spirit has regenerated. I feel like I'm echoing now. Am I echoing now more? Maybe fix that, guys. I feel like I'm in some kind of chamber, echo chamber. Echo, 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 echo. So, back to the message. The third reason, or the third way the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus is this. Now, I'm not going to give it to you. I just want you to follow with me. As the Holy Spirit has regenerated someone, He's regenerated you and me, gives us new life. As someone has witnessed to us, someone has given us the Bible, we read it, we become Christians. Someone tells us the gospel, we're eventually converted by the Spirit. What happens is that we are changed by the Spirit. We grow. We transform. A fancy word we use, and here's the third reason, or third way, excuse me, is sanctification. Sanctification is the third way the Spirit testifies about Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. He says, "And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord. And as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." And then he says, "For this transformation comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Paul says, as we behold the glory of the Lord, we are being changed. Now, what is the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord is really the presence of God in all that He is, all of His attributes, His infiniteness, His eternalness, His holiness, His sovereignty, His goodness, and so on and so on. And ultimately, God's glory is seen in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Because, as John says in earlier in his letter, in his gospel, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So as we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus, we are being transformed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit then testifies about the glory of Jesus through His work in our lives of sanctification. That is how the Spirit is testifying about Jesus, through sanctification, through us seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus and Him, the Spirit changing us, making us more like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus through His work of regeneration, through His work of evangelism, and through His work of sanctification. The three ways in how the Spirit testifies of Jesus. Now, here's the million-dollar question. How does, or why does, the Spirit testifying about Jesus through these three works, how does that bring us encouragement? I've said that the Holy Spirit is our great encourager. He brings us encouragement. So how does Him testifying about Jesus, how does that bring us encouragement? Here it is. Number one, regeneration. Praise God this morning. Praise God that He has opened your eyes to see Jesus. That He brought you new birth. Brothers and sisters, we can let it become sort of commonplace, but never get over this fact. He gave you new life when you were dead. He sovereignly gave you new life. If the Spirit did nothing else for you, this would be eternally encouraging. Listen, we are all discouraged to one degree or another today. I know we are. Because of our health. It's poor. It's failing. Because of relationship struggles, issues that we have that are so difficult. Because of our sin. Because of our finances. I mean, on and on and on we could go. But if you know Jesus, one day, brothers and sisters, one day all will be made right. I was talking with someone the other day, and she was sharing with me how focusing on eternity, on glory, really brings encouragement to us today, right now. It really does when we focus on that. Secondly, just a little bit how evangelism encourages us. And let me give you two thoughts here. Number one, our witness for Christ, when we are sharing the gospel, it's the God-ordained means that the Holy Spirit uses to regenerate people, to bring them eternal encouragement. And second, when we witness for Christ, the Holy Spirit brings salvation to people. It's not us. That's encouraging to me. I mean, we have to remind ourselves of this fact. And a few years ago, I was at my class reunion, high school class reunion, and I was talking with one of my classmates. Her husband, she was my classmate. I was talking with her husband, and they're believers. They're good friends of mine, and he was sharing with me about how he shares the gospel with people. So what he had done is he sort of pulled out of his billfold this sort of in your billfold, stuff gets crumpled up and mangled, and in your purses, ladies, right? The bottomless pit is what I call it. So he pulled out this thing, and it was like this massive schematic on how to lead someone to Jesus. You know, 10 steps to, you know, this and this, and if they say this, and, you know, and he was kind of flustered with all that he had to do to share Christ. He's walking me through this diagram and these steps, and I could sense he was a little overwhelmed. And I said, you know what, Andy, you got to realize that really it's the Holy Spirit that brings someone to saving faith. It's not you. And he said, you're right. Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. That is true. And it encouraged him. And that should encourage us that when we fulfill the God-ordained means that he has given, that the Holy Spirit is going to use our words to bring salvation to those that we share the gospel with when he pleases. It's not us. And that brings great encouragement to me. Number three, sanctification. Not only did the Holy Spirit bring regeneration to you, salvation to you, but he continues to change you. John 15:26, look at it again. It says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, about Jesus. This is a passage written to the disciples. It's written to us. It's an encouragement that Jesus gives to his own. When we see the glory of the Lord Jesus, we are changed by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what does he do? He continually points us to Jesus, to a person. As I said before, and you know this, we need a person, not a process, not a system, not a list of do's and don'ts to change. We need a person, and we have him. And so, when you feel like, even this morning, me, when you feel like you're getting nowhere, when you feel like you are a loser as a Christian, when you feel like you just can't conquer that sin, that struggle, you can't get your act together, you can't fix things, know for certain, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit is going to change you. He is going to continue the work he began in you. That is a promise. That's what the Spirit does. And that brings me encouragement. Oh, it brings me encouragement on those times where I am so down because of me. So God, the Holy Spirit, he encourages you and me by testifying about Jesus. And how does he do this? He does this by bringing new life, what we call regeneration. He testifies about Jesus when we witness to those who are still dead in their sins. Evangelism. And he testifies about Jesus by changing us into the image of Christ, what we call sanctification. So, we know now the Holy Spirit, what does he do? How does he encourage us? He testifies about Jesus. And he does that through regeneration, evangelism, and sanctification. But how, let me take this now a step further, a step deeper. How does the Spirit do this? I'm asking, what are his means? What are the ways in which he does this? The question I'm asking is, really what I'm asking is, where do we see Jesus? He testifies about Jesus, so where do we see Jesus? And the answer is, where do we see Jesus? We see Jesus in the Scriptures. That's where we see Jesus. We see Him in the Scriptures, and it's the second way the Holy Spirit encourages us. Here, let me put it like this. He leads us into the truth, into all truth. Look with me now, a chapter over, at chapter 16, verse 13. Chapter 16, verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. That's what He's going to do. That's His great work of encouragement, guiding you into all the truth, for He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, if you know, if you read through these chapters, 14, 15, and 16, this is in chapter 16, it's the third time the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Once in 14, once in 15, now here in 16. And so just as Jesus spoke the words of the Father, so what Jesus is saying is the Holy Spirit will not speak of His own, but speak of another. He will speak of the words of the Father and of the Son. Now, what I think is fascinating here is, if you think about this, is that John, as John was penning these words, giving his account of what Jesus did, as he was doing this, he was writing the inspired Word of God. I don't know how much he knew, but he was actually fulfilling what the Spirit said would take place. That is, he was writing down what Jesus said would happen through the Spirit, that the Spirit would lead the disciples into all the truth, and by extension, us. And so I think at the very least, the words that the Spirit tells us here have to be a reference to the Scriptures. The Spirit is going to lead us into all the truth. Where do we find the truth? We find it in the Scriptures. It is precisely these Scriptures that we have, the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit uses, in fact, to testify about Jesus. The Holy Spirit, listen to this, He uses the words of Jesus in John chapter 3. Right? To work, what does He do? To work regeneration in Nicodemus. The Spirit uses the words of John, the evangelist, for the readers of his book. And at the very end, John says in John chapter 20, verse 31, "But these words of John have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name." And the Spirit uses the words of the Father to sanctify us in the truth. God's Word is truth, John 17, 17. Now, let me ask the question that I asked earlier. Why is the Spirit leading us into all truth? Why is this encouraging to us? Or how is this encouraging to us? Well, first, unlike the disciples who had to receive the truth while in the presence of Jesus, we have the written Word of God that we can quite literally carry with us everywhere. We don't have to go find Jesus in a town, in a boat, in a city, in the field, on the mountain. We find Him literally in our pocket as we sort of pull out our phones and open up the YouVersion. We have the Scriptures with us. We carry with us it everywhere. And second, the Spirit, what does He do? Ultimately, when we read it, when we carry around the Word, the Scriptures, He illuminates our hearts. He gives us understanding. He helps us understand what is written, guiding us into all the truth. I don't have to tell you this here at Grace Community Bible Church, but you know what the most encouraging book I've ever read is? The Bible. The Bible is the most encouraging book I have ever read. It encourages me all the time when I read it. And so the Spirit, we see, he testifies of Jesus. He leads us into the truth. So at the end of the day, let me kind of wrap this up and bring this to a conclusion here. At the end of the day, the Spirit's work of testifying about Jesus and leading us into the truth, those two ways that he encourages us, is ultimately, what is the Spirit doing? He is ultimately, this is his number one ultimate job description. What I mentioned to you before, those two things are kind of sub job descriptions. His ultimate goal, his ultimate role is to glorify the Son. The Spirit is glorifying the Son. This is clearly stated in John 16, verse 14. Look at it. John 16, verse 14. He, the Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit's mission is to glorify the Son. How then does he glorify the Son? How does the Spirit glorify the Son? Well, in reality, we've already looked at how the Spirit glorifies the Son. What do I mean by this? Well, listen carefully to one theologian's insightful comments. He says, in a very good way, regeneration brought about by the Spirit brings new life in Christ. It's glorifying Christ. Evangelism, empowered by the Spirit, proclaims the gospel of Christ. Sanctification, progressively achieved by the Spirit, makes us more and more like Christ. And Scripture, inspired by the Spirit, focuses, has its goal, the main point of Scripture is Christ. These four ways are all ways the Spirit glorifies the Son. Now here is what I want you to get. This is what I want you to get. What I want you to see this morning. This is absolutely amazing to me. The very work of the Holy Spirit to glorify the Son is the very same work by which we are encouraged. Think about that. Put another way, how does the Holy Spirit encourage you? How does the Spirit encourage you? He encourages you by glorifying the Son. And that is eternally encouraging to us. How does he glorify Jesus? He testifies about Jesus through regeneration, through evangelism, through sanctification, and through leading and by leading us into the truth, the Scriptures. And how does this help us? How does this encourage us? Regeneration brings us new life. The work of sanctification changes us. We are then empowered to evangelize, and we have the written revelation of the mind of God. All because of the work of the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus. This is why Jesus can say that our encourager is the one who will glorify him. Here's the point, brothers and sisters. The point is, if you are a believer, you have a built-in encourager. You have a built-in encourager. And you know this from experience. I didn't have to take the time to prove it from Scripture. It's true because it's from Scripture. But you know it in your experience. How come it's encouraging to you to come to church and hear God's Word preached? How come that encourages you? Do you know why that encourages you? The Spirit. It's not me. Isn't that the preacher? How come, if you're like me, every prayer meeting, you drag yourself here on Wednesday, and then you end up praying with other Christians and you go away encouraged. Every time it happens to me. The Spirit. How come when I'm down and I read a psalm like, "For God is the King of all the earth," and then I want to go out and sing a song to Him? It's the Spirit. There is so much to be discouraged by in our lives and in our world. I mean, just this week's news alone. But think about Jesus. He was on death row for a crime He never committed. He became discouraged by this. But His discouragement paved the way for our encouragement now and for eternity. The Spirit could only come when Jesus went away. To put it a little more crassly, the Spirit could only come when Jesus was executed. And without the Spirit, we would be eternally and forever discouraged. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, I want you to marvel. I want you to marvel and rejoice at the work of the Spirit, who works tirelessly to glorify the Son in these four works we've seen: regeneration, evangelism, sanctification, and the Scriptures leading us into it, helping us to understand it. And let this encourage you that the work the Spirit is doing to glorify the Son is a work that ultimately is encouraging you and me. He is. And finally, I want us to rejoice that the Spirit, and I want us to join in with the Spirit to glorify the Son. Let us glorify the Son. Let us join the Spirit's work to glorify the Son in all that we do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much.